listening to Reality Wrap. I'm your host, Melanie. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hey guys, I hope you all are doing great today. I have had like 10 cups of coffee and a B12 drink, and I am now drinking a Zevia Energy. So I am fully caffeinated and ready to pop. I just finished watching the second installment of the Miami reunion, and it is delivering. I loved it. I think this reunion has been super great so far. But before I get into my recap of Miami, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you who have been downloading and following and liking my podcast. I super, super, super appreciate all of you. You guys are awesome. I also wanted to let you guys know that I am doing a rewatch of the first season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I am putting out recaps for that every Tuesday. So if you want to go back into 2008 with me, I would be happy to have you. Also, if you are not already following me on your favorite listening app, make sure you guys hit follow or subscribe or whatever the option is, so you don't miss out on any of my podcast releases. Or you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Reality Wrap, and I do post there every time I release an episode, so you can get notified that way as well. So let's go ahead and get into this recap of part two of the reunion. Like I said, I think this reunion is delivering. This episode was just as equally as good as the first one. And so we start out and we are on the heels of Alexia telling Lisa that had she believed that she was a star, she would have not let Lenny do all the things that he did to her. All the ladies are just kind of like, oh, wow. And Nicole starts clapping and saying, there's Alexia. And surprisingly, Lisa like doesn't get mad at her. She almost apologizes and she's like, you know, I think you're taking what I said out of context. You don't let people express themselves and you talk over them. And Alexia tells them that this is how I've been able to overcome the things that I have is because I believe in myself. And then Andy asks her if there are any things that she wants to apologize for this season. And she says, again, I want to apologize to Julia and also Gertie because I feel like what happened between us was a miscommunication, and I think Gertie is an incredible wedding planner. And so now it's time for lunch, and the ladies all head back to their rooms, and Alexia and Marisol are in the room, and they're like, I need a drink. And Alexia still feels like they've all ganged up on her. And thank God that there was camera crews rolling while these ladies were on their break, because so much shit like went down in the back rooms where these ladies do their glam and stuff. Nicole and Gertie are back in their room, and Nicole thinks that Alexia apologized to Julia so she wouldn't get canceled for saying what she did about Russian women on national TV, and that her apology to Gertie was half-assed. And they are still feeling that Alexia owes Adriana an apology for when she said that Adriana was dating a married guy and that she went online and looked and said, you know, he was still married, yet she didn't scroll all the way down at the bottom, which showed that he wasn't married, and she never apologized for that. And so they want justice for Adriana, and I don't think that's ever going to happen, but they think she deserves an apology for that before the day is up. And yeah, keep dreaming, honey, because it's about to get nastier between Alexia and Adriana. So Alexia finds Julia, and Adriana is also in the room, and she's getting her glam touched up and thanks her for being warm and accepting of her apology. Julia then starts explaining why she felt like Alexia didn't have any empathy towards Adriana when she compared her stupid foot to Frankie's accident and what she meant by that. And then they show us some unseen footage.
I set off with you is when I felt like no empathy towards Adriana when I came, when she made this terrible comment about Frankie.
When you I'm not even ready
even
to talk about
that. We're not talking about that. Yeah. Absolutely. It's you were her bridesmaid. But I spent a lot of time with her. Yeah. I know what she, how she speaks about you guys, and her issue with you is not because she's jealous or envious of you in any kind of way.
We can't see that.
It is because because you guys have some unsolved issues from the past. You have a history.
What issues? What are they? They're in her head.
Well, I guess the issues she was bringing up at dinner yesterday. I don't think Luca knows, Alexa,
you know? Julia, you know what? I don't want to talk to you.
That's your choice.
Please go over there because you're not a feminist. Stop turning this around into an LGBTQA community because I know I'm more that than you.
Where was Alexia going when she said, don't turn this into an LGBTQ conversation, and that she's more that than Julia? What the hell did she mean by that? There must have been more to that conversation and we missed it, but that just like kind of came out of nowhere, I feel. But anyway, so they keep talking, and it's funny because Adriana is in the room this whole time that Alexia and Julia are talking, and she's just sitting there getting her glam done. So Alexia tells her that Adriana and her have never been real friends. And she also talked about this on Teresa's podcast, Namaste Bitches, last week. So you can go over there and listen to that too. She breaks it down on there. Anyway, she goes back and starts talking about when Adriana brought up that someone told her at a husband's funeral that he had died while having sex with a man. And then at this point, Adriana finally chimes in and's like, Alexia, you were saying that to the world. And that's why Leah Black was so disgusted with you that you were outing Herman after he had died. And Alexia tells her, no, that's not what happened. And then tells Adriana that she's just jealous of her. Once again, she throws out these weird comebacks, I guess you could call them, that aren't really tied to what they're talking about. I don't know how Alexia thinking Adriana is jealous of her has anything to do with them talking about what she said when Herman died and how she had heard that he was having sex with his lover. I don't understand how the two correlate, but anyway, Alexia throws that out there. I almost think she does it to like kind of throw off the conversation, maybe. I don't know. That's just my theory. Anyway, she tells Adriana to stay out of the conversation and then turns back to Julia and says, see, this is what happens to you. She gets in between us. And then Julia asks if she will ever be able to fix it with Adriana. And Alexia says, you know, how can I fix it with that? And then she points over at Adriana. So then Julia starts explaining to her that the day before she was at the hospital with Martina, who was getting her chemo, and she was looking at all the sick kids. And this made her want to be in a place of peace and that she just wants everybody to be kinder and to get along. And Alexia says that she just wants everyone to stop making her look a certain way that she is not, and that she is actually a sweet and loving person. And then she starts to cry. And then Adriana from across the room starts saying, you know, those are crocodile tears. And then the shit hits the fan between Alexia and Adriana. And thank God the cameras were rolling, because all the drama that goes on in these back rooms is so good.
Tears, Alexia.
Oh, no, I don't know. Because I feel, of course I am. You have a problem with that because you're the narcissist that have no feelings. No, because you're doing with the run. Get out of the conversation.
I'm not attacking, and then we can defend ourselves, and you don't even apologize for it, okay?
I'm not apologizing. You're the devil. You have hate in your heart. Look at your eyes. You're a crazy person.
Deflection.
Devil, bro. You're evil. This is what you do for a show. This is your the evil one here is you. You don't even deserve. You don't. You don't deserve. That's all they take. You want it to be blonde. You want it to be blonde. Because you finally figured out. I mean, you want to be blonde.
What did Alexia mean by, you just want to be blonde, you just want to be blonde? See, again, she puts out these comebacks and they don't make any sense. But I do think that Alexia actually was really crying. I don't think those were fake tears. I don't know. I think both these women have like a soft side to them. And then they both have like this other side that is just unbecoming. I guess, is that the right word to use? I don't know. Between Alexia and her giant super ego, and then Adriana and her big mouth and the stupid shit that she says all the time. I don't know. I don't think these two are ever going to be friends again. I really don't. There is just way too much tension between them, way too much history. Adriana has really said some shitty things about Alexia in the past. I just don't think they're ever going to move past this. So the ladies are called back up to the stage and Marisol goes up to Alexia and she's like, oh my God, what happened? You should have done all that up here on the stage. And Alexia's like, oh, I'm not done. I'm going to go in more up here on the stage. And then she calls Adriana a crazy person who needs to be medicated. So now it is time for Kiki to come out and she makes her way to the stage and sits down and her boob comes out from underneath her dress and they start filming and Andy asks her a question that someone had sent in about her keeping the Burger King Whopper in her purse and how cold was the burger. And she tells us that she is used to eating cold Whoppers because there was a time in her life when that was all she could afford to eat. And she was hungry on the drive over, so she asked the driver to pull over and get her Burger King. And my son also loves Burger King Whoppers, so they're okay. I guess if I had to eat one, I would. Actually, I probably wouldn't, but anyway. So then Andy asks Julia what her plans are for adopting a baby now that Martina is going through the treatment for her cancer. And she says, at the moment, it's all about Martina and getting her healthy, so they have put it on hold. And then they all offer up their kids to Julia, if she ever wants to babysit or hang out with the kids while she waits for Martina to get better. And then she tells them that watching back all these moments seems so unimportant to her now that Martina is sick, especially the moment when Martina was asking her to have a dinner with just the two of them at the house and that, you know, Julia didn't want to because she felt like it was lonely. And she's like, I would give anything to have dinner with just the two of us. And then Andy asks her if she's going to be more willing to do things with Martina once she recovers, like going to Aspen. And she says she will. And then they talk about how Martina joined her at BravoCon and was seen carrying her purse around. And Julia tells us that Martina loves the show and is super supportive and that when they had met, she had gone to all the tennis tournaments and she had been the one to put Martina up on the pedestal and thought it was so amazing, you know, watching all these celebrities come and watch her play tennis. But now Martina is doing that for her. And then Andy tells her to make sure to tell Martina that she has all of Bravo's support and that everybody here is praying for her, which I'm praying for her too. I hope she makes an amazing recovery and they can carry on with their journey of adopting a baby. Andy then asks the women who has the most sex here on the stage. And most of them answer, you know, me, I have it 3 times a week. And then Larsa chimes in that she was married for 23 years and had sex 4 times a night. So 3 times a week is nothing. And that she never, ever, ever had a day off. Her and Scotty were together every single day, which, sorry, girl, no way for 23 years you guys were together every single day. I mean, I believe that as much as I believe her ass is real. Let's go back to that again. Anyway, whatever. Larsa, if you want to say that, say that. Nobody believes you. Your vagina would fall off, I think, if you had to have sex that many times a day, every day for 23 years. Andy then says that Marcus has big shoes to fill. And then Larsa's like, well, he wears a size 15 shoe. I don't think that's exactly what Andy was saying. I think he meant big shoes, like by how much sex she was having and not the size of his penis. But obviously she's implying that he has a large penis because he wears a large shoe. Anyway, Andy then asks her how Scotty feels about her dating Marcus. And she says that they don't really talk about it. They only talk about the kids. And all the kids have cell phones. So really, they don't talk that much because she communicates with her kids on cell phone. Then Andy asks her if Scotty Jr. gets any crap from his teammates about Larsa dating Marcus. And she says, no, all the kids like him. Andy tells her that he is still in shock over the whole dynamics of the relationship due to the fact that the ex used to play with Michael Jordan. And she tells us that she actually never had met Michael Jordan's family. They weren't really intermingled because he was in the middle of a divorce when Scotty was playing with him. And so they were never intertwined. Then Andy asks her how she would feel if Michael Jordan's ex-wife started dating Scotty Jr. And she says she wouldn't care as long as they were happy. I don't think that's really the same. Scotty Jr. is 22. Marcus is 32. That's like a 10-year difference. And I think people think and act differently from their 20s to their 30s. So I think emotionally, 40-something-year-old dating a 30-something-year-old isn't such a big deal as a 40-something-year-old dating a 20-something-year-old and a very early 20-something. Emotionally, they're in completely different places. So anyway, she says she wouldn't care. I don't know. If some 40-something-year-old was dating my 20-year-old, I would have a problem with that, just being a mama bear. But anyway, so Andy then moves on from Marcus and then asks the ladies with a show of hands who thinks that Larsa hits below the belt. And pretty much the whole right side of the stage raises their hand. So Nicole, Julia, Adriana, and Gertie. And then Marisol chimes in that she thinks Larsa is just reactionary and that she loves watching her and thinks, wow, I wish I could be like that. And then Andy reminds her that at one point, Larsa had said some things about Marisol's mother a long time ago. And they show clips of it. And Marisol says, you know, that was a long time ago. And, you know, we've moved on from that. And it's funny, in the clips, they were all the way back from the very beginning when the show first came out. So like 2011. And I forgot how pretty Larsa really was back then. Obviously, she was 11 years younger, but she looked so natural compared to now. I guess she would have been like, what, 37? But yeah, she was so pretty. Not that she's not pretty now. Just now she has a lot of filler in her face. So then Andy asks Larsa if she feels vindicated now that Lenny has admitted to having a mortgage. And she says, no, I just wanted Lisa to know that there was a mortgage on their house. And Andy tells Lisa, you know, it's not bad having a mortgage. Most everybody has a mortgage. And then he asks, you know, who has a mortgage here? And they all raise their hand. And Andy's like, I have a couple. And that it was the dumbest fight that he had ever seen. And she's like, I felt like Larsa was weaponizing the fact that we had a mortgage and was insinuating that we could not afford our lifestyle. Then Andy asks her about how she was renting out her house on the weekend, and she does admit that she was lying for Lenny because at this point she did not know that he was getting ready to leave her. And so I guess he actually did rent out the backyard on certain occasions. It wasn't every weekend. And then someone writes in saying that Larsa takes the information about her friends and weaponizes it.
Speaking of intention, Jack from Portland, Maine said, Larsa, it's true that Lisa had a mortgage. It's true that Julia kissed a man. It's not that you're right or wrong. It's that you weaponized the information against your friend. What's your reaction to that?
How is that weaponizing? I mean, if you say
something...
You could
have destroyed her marriage.
If you, and no one's talking to you. Just put a muzzle on, girl.
Oh, if you're saying
something about me...
Oh, wow.
How is it not weapons?
Well, if you say something about me that's challenging me, I'm going to say something to just bring you down to earth and humble you a little bit.
First off, how funny is it that she tells Adriana to put a muzzle on it, that they're not talking to her, when literally in the first installment of this reunion, she was like jumping in constantly. So I'm going to call her out for that. That was pretty hypocritical considering she had done the same thing. As far as her saying, you know, I just use information about my friends if they're coming at me to bring them down to earth a little bit more and to humble them. So basically she'll sit on information until she needs to use it against you. She won't be a friend and come right to you and be like, hey, I heard this about you. No, she's just going to sit on it until she needs to use it against you. So yeah, I feel like, you know, she puts things in her pocket so she can bring them out as a weapon when she feels backed up against a wall. You know, this is how she's going to come at you, but whatever. Larsa does say that whenever she hears anything about anyone, she would call them. And Nicole says, no, I never received a call from you when you received a DM from someone saying that I had slept with all these doctors in the hospital. And Andy's like, why would you even believe every DM you receive? And then Marisol chimes in that after the show had aired, her DMs were flooded from people saying that Nicole was sleeping with doctors that were still married while she was still married. And Nicole accuses Larsa of making up these accounts and that Larsa's, I guess, a finsta was the one who was spreading this information. And then Larsa and Nicole start arguing. And Larsa says, I have a real job unlike you. And everyone's like, wait, what? Being a doctor isn't a real job? Larsa makes no sense. So your OnlyFans job is a real job versus someone who actually has a PhD and is in the medical community, but she doesn't have a real job? Girl, sit down. Good Lord. Anyway, they start arguing back and forth, and then Andy gets pissed, and he's like, oh my God, stop talking over each other. I kind of have to agree with them there. Good Lord, these ladies. Julia then chimes in now about playing the game of who do you trust the most in this room, and she says out of all of them, she would trust Nicole.
I want to hear from Julia.
Okay. Julia.
I would always play the game like you played, Marisol. Remember, who do you trust the least? I want to play the reverse. Who do I trust in this room the most? And to all of your surprise, I trust Nicole the most. Do you know why? Because you seeing her looking so beautiful in this dress, I've seen her in the hospital, in the scrubs, while she was holding my hand, while I was crying in her office, while Nicole was Martina's anesthesiologist for her surgery. So I put my life, and Martina put her life, in her hands.
Boom. Mic drop. She is not wrong there. I mean, she literally put Martina's life in Nicole's hands. So you got to say that's worth something, right? Larsa then comes back with, you know, I wasn't saying she wasn't a professional. I was just saying she was sleeping with all these doctors at the hospital. And Nicole's like, yes, but you were saying I was being inappropriate at my place of work. So you've got to be able to see that that is not a right thing to say. So then they start talking about how Anthony doesn't like Larsa because of what she said about him and Nicole having a child out of wedlock and that Larsa isn't judging them for that. And Andy's like, that was kind of an asshole thing to say. Oh, you know, why did you say that? And she's like, because she was being holier than thou. And Andy's like, well, that was an asshole thing to say. He then turns to Nicole and says that she has reached a new level of pettiness with her disinvitation to Larsa, the way she had written it out in the mirror. And Julia does say that she thinks this was hurtful, but that it was so funny. And then Andy asks if Larsa is remorseful over anything in the season. She says, I am remorseful over when I said to Nicole that I could have judged you over having a kid out of wedlock. I didn't mean anything by it. You know, if you guys have a beautiful home and a great relationship, it really doesn't matter that you guys have a kid and you're not married. They then take another break. This break is less dramatic. It's more about Larsa and Nicole, and they're talking in their respective dressing rooms. And Larsa is telling Marcus that she only wants to talk about them and nothing else. And then she takes a shot, and Marcus tells her that she is killing it out there. So, you know, he's being a supportive guy. So everybody comes back, and Andy asks about Kiki and her vagina chakra. She says that it is still closed, and Andy tells her that he is surprised that she is still single, and she says that she dates, but all the guys in Miami are like Lenny. And then they talk about head shapes, and Andy asks Kiki what his head shape says about him, and Kiki says that you are wild, and he's like, you're correct. So then Andy starts asking the women if any of them suspected that things were not right between Lisa and Lenny's marriage. And Gertie's like, I did. We were at an event that wasn't aired, and Lenny refused to join her and Lisa back in this area where it was roped off. And I guess Lisa kept asking him, you know, come back here. And he was like, no, you know, I'm fine over here. Then Lisa's like, you know, Lenny's always been socially awkward. Andy then asks her what signs she was seeing that there was a problem in their marriage. She's like, you know, when he was losing weight, because our whole marriage, I had been trying to get him to lose weight and he was not interested in it. And then he started working out and losing weight. And then he started taking testosterone, and that their sex life basically dwindled down to nothing for the last couple of months. Andy then reads a comment from someone who has written in, and they want to know why Lisa still had the Halloween party even though they were in the middle of getting this divorce. And she replies that actually she didn't really care about the Halloween party, that it was all Lenny and that he like lives for this Halloween party. And she really couldn't say no because legally he still owns the house and there was nothing she could do about it. She then tells us that there were over 600 people there. Oh my God, that's a ton of people. Their house must have been so trashed afterwards. I would never, ever, ever do that. I mean, I'm sure they take precautions and have a giant cleaning crew and stuff, but still, I just feel like stuff's gonna get broken for sure with 600 people in your house. Kiki then tells us that because she's a model in Miami, she's heard about other models who have slept with Lenny and that he's been cheating for a very long time. And that is how the episode ends. Everybody kind of looks around like in shock. So next week, we'll probably see Lisa's reaction to Kiki saying this. And then I'm assuming we're going to get more of the fighting between Adriana and Alexia, because Andy, I don't think, really has asked any questions about that. And we still haven't covered the whole Adriana using her foot as a comparison to Frankie's accident. So we know that's coming still. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and end this here. I am heading to Vegas tomorrow and I want to get outside and get running, and I have a lot to do. So I hope you guys all have a great weekend. Bye.